Local radio for Portsmouth.
We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Another weekend has arrived, and it's another chance to preview what we hope will be, finally, a match in which Pompey come out victorious. To do that, however, the Blues will need to up their game and ensure moments like this.
Under the crossbar, Bazumas, he drops it in the goal, he has, and the goal's given, is it? Is it a free kick or a goal?
Free kick.
It's a free kick.
Turn into moments like this.
Raggett could be under it. Raggett's header, what a goal! What a header from Sean Raggett!
Kenny Jackett's side have yet to get off the mark in terms of goals in League One this season, returning blanks in either of their opening two fixtures, though managing to hold off their opponents on both occasions. What do you believe needs to happen to ensure goals start flowing at PO4? Would you like to see the new signing, Rasmus Nicolaisen, come straight into the team for this weekend's game? And we also want your reaction to the news that Gareth Evans has left the club. Make sure to get your texts, tweets and emails through to us before 7pm this evening. All the details on how to get in touch can be found on our website, expressfm.com. Welcome along to another jam-packed evening of Pompey debate and discussion. Sit back, relax and enjoy the show. You're listening to Express FM and this is for Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening to you all. I hope you're all well and good on this cold Friday night. Welcome to another edition of the Football Hour here on Express FM, which is proudly driven to you this season by Stagecoach Buses. On the show between now and 7 o'clock, I'll be introducing two more guests to join me on the lineup to go over the biggest news stories of the past few days, as well as to give me their thoughts and predictions ahead of Pompey's next match. Believe me when I say this is going to be a very interesting hour of discussion. We've got so much to get through over the next 60 minutes or so, so let's not waste another second of which we could be doing just that. We start off by refreshing our memories and looking back at the Blues' previous outing. Kenny Jackett took his team up to Rochdale in Greater Manchester on Sunday, aiming to secure all 3 points at the second time of asking this season. Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham had you covered from the Crown Oil Arena.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
I'm going to say this with everything crossed, but this could be the final game for now that Portsmouth play behind closed doors. Neither side really laying a glove on the other side at the moment. Defence is pretty comfortable. Gives it short to Curtis. He might fancy a go from here, Curtis. On his right foot, Ronan Curtis. High over the bar, 0-0. There weren't too many openings 8 days ago at Grafton Park. Suddenly things wide open up for Rochdale. Shot from distance is just wide of the post from Ollie Rathbone. McGilvery was watching it and it goes the wrong side of his right-hand post and it stays 0-0. All chipped forward. Portsmouth had it and lost it. And now Newby drives into the penalty area. Newby with a good chance for Rochdale and he drags it across the face of goal. And it's going to go out of play for a throw. Here's Curtis. Last action of the half is a shot from distance. High and wide. That brings the first 45 minutes here at Spotland to an end. Here we go. Portsmouth all in orange going from right to left in this second 45 minutes. It's given away by Rochdale at the back. It's a real chance for Marcus Harness. To Marquez. He's put it wide. What an opportunity. Pompey gifted a chance and they've blown it. 0-0. They just need to find a win from somewhere. Curtis coming down the left-hand side. He's got Brown on the overlap. Curtis, will he cross with his left? But he will in towards the near post. It's loose in the six-yard box. Charles McCann, no, he can't get on the ball. and it goes behind. It's a corner kick.
I'm sure there was a few words at half-time from Kenny Jackett, but they look a better side this second half, this first 15 minutes or so.
And it comes from Brown. Under the crossbar, Bazumas, he drops it in the goal. He has, and the goal's given, is it? Is it a free kick or a goal?
Free kick.
It's a free kick. Into the final 10 minutes. 0-0 between Portsmouth and Rochdale. Here in League One. Here's Johnson. Johnson with the chance to cross into the penalty area. Looking for Marquez. It's tipped over the bar. It's a glorious chance. It's a corner. Lund is down the line and Raggett's come across to do some defending. Harrison back there. A terrible back pass from Harrison. A great chance for Rochdale. Dunn missed his kick. Is that the let-off Pompey need? McGilvery tries to make a save. Watmore clears off the line. And Portsmouth and Ellis Harrison get out of jail. It's still 0-0. Possession up to 55%, or just over 54% for Pompey. They've had 19 shots, but only four of them have been on target. And Portsmouth start the new League One season with consecutive 0-0 draws. They might have been significantly better in the second 45 minutes, but nonetheless, Guy Whittingham, that is a frustrating result this afternoon. Not a good result, even though it was a better performance after half-time. Full-time here at Spotlands, it's finished. Rochdale 0, Portsmouth 0.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there from Pompey's 0-0 draw away to the Dale last weekend. Blues fans, this is your chance to get your thoughts, frustrations and questions across to the team here on Express. It would be great to hear from you back home this evening. To get in touch, simply text your name and message, starting with the word Express to 81400. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet us using at expressfm, or comment on our page on Facebook, facebook.com/Pompey Live. It's time now, however, to introduce my two guests to this evening's show. First of all, calling in from Morgantown, West Virginia, in the United States of America. You'd have heard his voice plenty of times before here on the Football Hour and on Pompey Live too. It's Matt Drabble. Matt, it's great to have you along for tonight's chat.
It's great to be back, Jake. I almost feel like I'm back at home again here on the show. Delighted to join you to talk some Portsmouth football. I'm going to be honest, I felt a little disconnected from the team over here in the States, but it sounds like even you guys back in Portsmouth have felt a little disconnected with the way things have gone this year.
Yeah, it has been a very strange year, Matt, and a very disappointing start to the campaign. We last heard from you just before the Blues embarked on the playoff campaign at the back end of last season, and a lot has changed since then. How would you assess Pompey's start to the new league season? Is it time to panic just yet, or are you confident that Kenny can turn it around?
Look, I don't think it's necessarily time to panic, but if anyone says it's anything other than disappointing, I think they'd have to be lying. You know what the expectations are at this club by now. It's another year in League One. And when a club feels like it's going stagnant, 2-0 draws is not the ideal way to start a season, certainly from a fan confidence standpoint and also from a point standpoint in regards to climbing our way up the league table. Blunt Pompey have looked over the first two games. It's been the real disappointment. And, you know, it becomes hard to get up at 10 o'clock in the morning here and turn on my iFollow account and watch them. And I've never really found that. You know, that's always been something I've looked forward to every Saturday. But that's you know, sort of drifting away from me right now. And I mentioned disconnect with the club and the fans. I think that's certainly becoming a little bit of an issue. And look, definitely not time to panic. It's two league games into the season. But certainly cause for concern over the opening two games.
Yeah. And accompanying myself and Matt for this evening's discussion is Jeff Harris from the Portsmouth Armed Forces Supporters Club. Jeff, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for having me back. Yes, it seems a sense of normality is returned.
Yeah, we're bringing the Football Hour to you guys. You know, usually you'd come in and you'd sit opposite me and we'd talk about Pompey before, after, you know, even during the show sometimes we had breaks. But we're bringing it to your homes. Lucky for you guys, I'm still here in the studio. I'm by myself. Very eerie inside the building, I'll tell you that. Jeff, Matt spoke there of Pompey's slow start to the season, which has seen a return of 0 goals and just 2 points from the opening two league games. However, one big positive to take from that, surely, would be the clean sheets and the work rate of the Blues defence to keep opposing teams at bay. With not much else positive to take from the last few weeks, is that a factor you're holding close at the moment?
It's a similar story for the last two seasons, isn't it? Is that, you know, if you don't concede, you've got a chance of going up the other end and scoring. Yeah, it is a good stat. However, it does, the lack of scoring takes away how good that defence and you know, McGivray coming back into the goal and keeping those clean sheets. You know, there was one or two hairy moments on Saturday with Harrison's back pass, and you thought, oh, this is it. You know, he likes an own goal or mistake at the back, doesn't he? So, but listen, you know, as Matt said, it's the other end that's really concerning. You heard in the commentary there, you know, Andy Moon said 19 shots and only four on target. I think it ended up 24 shots and six on target. You've got to take at least, you know, two or three of those every year if you've got 24 attempts on goal.
Yeah. One big bit of news coming out really from the government this week, Matt, is the fact that the pilot scheme to return fans back into Football League stadiums in around about October time has been cancelled, or rather paused and put on hold, and really unlikely now to see supporters back inside grounds until around about February, March time. So it's a massive blow for the English game, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of teams up and down the country who are going to suffer financially from this, and that's an inquest in itself. But in terms of Pompey, in terms of Fratton Park and the atmosphere, you know, at PO4, we were hoping to see around about 1,000 fans tested this weekend for the game against Wigan, but we're not going to see that. How disappointed are you with this news, and how gutting is it going to be for football fans up and down the country?
Yeah, morale-wise, I think it's extremely disappointing. And like you say, it hurts the beautiful game. You know, football is made by its fans, and that's, you know, a real issue, especially for a club like Portsmouth, where the fans are such a big part of what makes us so formidable at home. But I think, more importantly, with the word you mentioned earlier, Jake, and that's financially. Portsmouth are very blessed at the moment for all the criticism that's been thrown around, that we have very financial backing in the Eisners. Lots of clubs don't have that luxury, and not getting gate receipts is going to hurt them very, very much over the next few months. I think that's something that we can't really relate to, but we can certainly sympathise with, from a time when maybe the club didn't have such solid financial backing. And, you know, look at the likes of Wigan, our opponents this week, how much they're going to be hurt by not having fans in the stadium. The city of Wigan actually going into full lockdown altogether recently. And I think it's also frustrating when you look at the way other countries have been able to implement it. Yeah. Germany had fans at the start of this season, socially distanced. The Danish league, even in sort of March, April, May time, was having fans socially distanced in the stadium. And you've seen it been done so successfully around the rest of Europe. You do have to ask the question of the EFL or the FA, why it hasn't been able to be implemented in England. You know, you have people at restaurants on tables 6 feet apart in a much more confined space than a open-air football stadium. I don't see why there isn't the ability to spread fans out inside a football stadium. But then, I'm not a health expert. I can only say what I see. But I think, yeah, not only from a morale, it was extremely disappointing for clubs like Portsmouth, but financially for clubs across the league, especially League One and League Two, it's incredibly disappointing.
Do you think, Jeff, that without supporters at Fratton Park this season, Pompey's record in the league at home could falter a little bit, or do you think it could work out in their favour in some occasions? What's your take on that?
I think it's a double-edged sword, if I'm honest. I think if you look at last season and the season before, obviously, the fans do make a huge difference in Fratton Park. However, by not having fans in Fratton Park, it takes the pressure off Kenny Jackett. So, you know, it's that you look at it in both ways. It's an advantage to have fans, but actually this season, if we don't start picking up results and things don't start going our way, is it actually a blessing that fans aren't in the ground?
Yeah. An interesting statement here from the Colchester United chairman, Robbie Cowling, which I'm sure many of you have seen over the course of a week. Matt, I'll come to you for this one. I'm going to read out a statement from Robbie Cowling here. He says, "However, just so I understand it, when I'm having to lay off even more staff, can someone explain to me again how I can safely sit in a confined aeroplane with 300 other passengers and I can safely eat inside a restaurant or drink inside a pub until 10 o'clock, but I can't safely attend a football match which is predominantly outside and has been certified as a safe zone by SAG? Matt, the Colchester chairman there raises an issue in terms of what is and what isn't allowed currently in terms of kind of restrictions up and down the country at the moment. It's not something we're going to get into. It's quite a political kind of debate, that one. But it just goes really to strengthen your point about how frustrating it is for teams up and down the country, like Colchester United, who are clearly suffering financially, staff are being laid off as a result, in having no fans returning this weekend.
Yeah, and I think the key point raised there is how contradictory it seems. I think it's clear for football, this is not a practicality thing, it's an image thing. And football and the Football League don't want to be seen as a scapegoat, maybe, when cases rise in England. It's an easy thing to point to. Well, you let fans back in stadiums, that's why cases have risen. So I think that just shows you that football and football fans have been scapegoated over numerous topics down the years, whether it be, violence or rise in toxic masculinity, other such problems. And they don't want to be scapegoated for a rise in COVID-19 cases. So I think that's just another thing which is more political than it is practical. And it's clear that, reasonable, logical thinking has gone out the window here when it seems, as he said, he can sit in an airport or in a restaurant with other people, but he can't sit outdoors at a football game. It just goes to show that football's a very visible thing. It's a very... Seeing fans huddled together in a stadium is something people can attach to and use to attack as poor health practice, whereas it's not as visible with topics like travel or eating out and supporting local businesses.
It's a very good point, Jeff, and I think what Matt mentions there about how football fans and football in general is often scapegoated is really the cause of a lot of problems up and down the country. And I think if you look back to, was it Monday night or Tuesday night, there was an FA Cup game with hashtag United. I think they won on penalties, and there was a slight pitch invasion. There were fans behind the goal in which the penalties were being taken, and unfortunately, it didn't look like social distancing was being practiced there. And that's something which, as Matt mentions, goes against the image of football. And if you were to allow fans back into stadiums this season, which we are all hoping for, can you guarantee that everyone's going to, play to the rules that have been set out?
You like giving me the hard ones, don't you?
I like to cause controversy with you, Jeff.
Yeah. And it's a fair comment because, you've got to, as a fan, take responsibility, and also the club's got to take responsibility. And, you will get the odd idiot, as we've seen over the years, and sometimes at Fratton Park, on televised games and everything else. And it only takes one person to do it. And then the next person goes, oh, he's doing it, so I'll do it. And then the next three or four people go, well, they're doing it, so I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And before you know it, it could get out of hand. And as Matt said, it's kind of getting punished for things that happened 5-10 years ago. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Matt, Jeff, thank you. We'll be back with you in just a few moments' time. Don't forget, Pompey fans back home, all the ways to get in touch, if you haven't done so yet, can be found on our website, expressfm.com. What has been your favourite memory of Gareth Evans in a Pompey shirt? Where do the Blues need to recruit next ahead of a closure of the transfer window? And should Kenny stick or twist with his defence for this weekend's match? Jack Watmore is expected to start, but who would you like to see partner him at centre-back? Tonight, we are also asking for your score predictions ahead of Pompey hosting Wigan at Fratton Park tomorrow afternoon. We'll be back in just a few moments' time to carry on with the discussion and to look further ahead to the next few fixtures for the Blues. So stay tuned and keep it 93.7 Express FM for the continuation of the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back along to the Friday Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM. Tonight, I'm joined by Matt Drabble and Jeff Harris to go over what has been an extremely busy week at PO4. We've had departures, a signing, news regarding the return of supporters and much more as well. The three of us will be live here until 7 o'clock to try and cram as much of that in as we can. A huge thanks once again must go to Stagecoach Across the South for supporting another season of the show. Check out their app, which you can download from the Apple app and Google Play stores, for the latest information on fares, timetables and COVID guidelines. Okay, some sad news to bring to you, actually, gents, is the departure of Gareth Evans. He joined the club in 2015, having spent a period on a trial at Fratton Park. He impressed Paul Cook in his first season at the club. Gareth Evans has left. He's joined Bradford City in League Two on a two-year contract. He, of course, used to play for Bradford City years before he linked up with Pompey in 2015, but he has finally confirmed his departure from Fratton Park, earlier this afternoon. I mean, the news was leaked yesterday, and I think Pompey fans were braced for that official announcement, Matt. But it is sad to see a player like Gareth Evans, who's been such a fantastic servant to the club, have his departure confirmed.
Yeah, absolutely, Jake. And I think I saw a tweet earlier. I'd credit the person if I could. Who wrote it, that said, you know, Gareth Evans arrived at Portsmouth at a time when we'd had about 4 years of mercenaries playing for us, players on short contracts that didn't really seem to care about the club. And then this lad comes on trial and is full of passion, full of running. I remember that Hammond Waterlooville trial very distinctly, 8 minutes in that game, and being incredibly impressed with his work rate. And he goes on to have an excellent Portsmouth career, 218 appearances, and always sort of embodied a player that cared about the club deeply at a time where we hadn't really had many players like that previously. And he was the first in a long line of signings that showed a new direction for this club, actually caring about the fans and caring about the shirt on his back. And, you know, my favourite memory of Gareth Evans, and I'm sure you'll get some tweets in about this one later, is that very first goal of the Paul Cook era. And after all the misery that Portsmouth fans have been through, it finally seemed like there was a glimmer of hope when he smashed that header in against Dagenham and Redbridge for the opening goal, and what would go on to be a marvellous 3-0 win where Portsmouth played some unbelievable football, and it was finally a bit of hope. And, you know, it all came back to Gareth Evans essentially starting that for us Portsmouth fans. And like I said, he was never one to complain, played central attacking midfield, he played right midfield, he played right back under Paul Cook, and he always gave absolutely 100%. And that's what I'll always associate Gareth Evans with, a player that signified a turning point for the club with his work rate and a player that really cared.
Yeah, and as Matt has alluded to there, Jeff, Gareth Evans could play in a whole range of different positions, and he did do that at Pompey, both under Paul Cook and, of course, Kenny Jackett, rather out of favour in the last season or two under Kenny. But still a player, as Matt mentions, who was always giving 110%. He earned the captain's armband on a few occasions over the last 12 months or so as well. And just a player who every time you saw him a starting lineup, you saw within the matchday squad, he was always happy, he was always committed to give his all to the team. And it really felt like, and I think, you know, everyone will join me in saying that it really felt like he actually got this club. He loved the club, he loved the fan base, he loved the city as well. And I think the same could be said about Christian Burgess and, of course, you know, Gareth Evans as well. So it's such a shame not only to see him as a footballer depart the club, but as a person and as a character as well.
Yeah, you know, he's gone down in the annals of history about being on Southsea Common and singing that song. And he was Mr. Dependable, wasn't he? So whenever he was in the starting lineup or he came on, especially in the final at Wembley, I thought, you look back to that cup final, it was on the knife edge and he came on and he was asked to play left wing for Curtis. And he actually came on and done what he always does and gives 100%. And he actually, for me, yes, okay, Lowe scored the goal and everything else. And, you know, Matt Clark played that superb ball. But actually, Gareth Evans coming on at left wing actually was, and Hawkins, it was one of the turning points.
Yeah, we're going to get to some of the comments coming in on Twitter, on Facebook via the text as well of fans' favourite moments of Gareth Evans as a Pompey player. There's plenty of them coming in as well. Some of them I might have to blank out a few words. Marcus Deakins on Facebook says, got to be him coming onto the stage down the common and singing that song. I can't repeat it, but yeah, you know the song that Gareth Evans sung on Southsea Common when Pompey lifted the League Two title, and he sung the song that all Pompey fans would have enjoyed. And it was a moment, actually, Matt, where I think he's come out and since admitted that I think he'd had a few pints before that particular trophy lift on the Common, and I think that's what fueled that. But nonetheless, Gareth Evans was always true to his word. He loved the club. He didn't like that lot down the road. And I think even in a few interviews, he also expressed his, you know, his dismay towards Derek Adams at Plymouth as a club as well. So, you know, it goes further to my point about how good a connection he had to the fans and to the club. And a player like that only comes around every so often. And it's difficult to see now who that next player will be, who's going to fill those shoes.
Yeah, I think so. And I think in football today, the players are so media trained and, you know, there's so much nonsense that comes out in post-game interviews and cliches will go again next week and good shift from the lads. And Gareth Evans was a player that spoke like a fan. And I think for Portsmouth, more than almost any club, you know, that speaks to fans on a level we don't feel patronised, we don't feel looked down upon by these players. He connected with us because the things he was saying about Derek Adams, we were also saying about Derek Adams to our mates at the pub.
Yeah.
The things he was saying about Southampton were the chants we were singing on the terraces. And I think there's something special about that. And I think, you know, as Portsmouth hopefully climb up the leagues, that's those type of characters and those type of moments will disappear from the club. But Gareth Evans is a player that will always hold close for those moments that we remember where, you know, connect was as a fan, and he seemed like he genuinely cared, and it didn't seem rehearsed, and it didn't seem put on, and that's something I'd always respect. And the one thing I really hope with this is that we've seen comments from Gary Roberts this week about how his time at Portsmouth ended, and I really hope it didn't end sourly for Gareth Evans. I really hope it didn't go down in a controversial kind of bitter taste in the mouth type of way, because, you know, he had his vice captaincy stripped last season, and that was a little unfortunate and put a little taint on his Pompey career. And then I just really hope how he comes out of Portsmouth, he looks back on the city, the fan base and the club with fond memory.
I think he does, Matt. And I think judging by Gareth Evans' Instagram post from last night, it goes further to sum up, you know, what we're discussing here and his love for the club. And I do truly think he will still hold Pompey close to his heart throughout his entire career. For those of you who haven't seen his Instagram post, he posted a little poem which was rather sweet and I think rather brought a tear or a few to some Pompey fans' eyes. I'm going to read it out to you now. Gareth Evans posted, "Fratton's a good day out. Good atmosphere, they said. I'll have some of that, my friend. It's that 5-hour drive I dread. But I got in the car anyway, hoping to earn a deal. 2 goals in 2 games later, 12 months and lunchtime meals. I came here for promotion. I'd be happy with that I fought. So I got on the stage at Southsea, 6 pints, a mic and support. Little did I know when I signed for this great club, I'd play for them at Wembley, even though I started sub. 5 years of ups and downs, it's not been easy, that's true. But 218 games later, safe to say, I'm blue." He then went on to say, "To thank you to all the fans for your unwavering support. My family and I have been made to feel so welcome in this magnificent city. I'll be back one day," post Gareth Evans last night on Instagram. And it's a shame, Jeff, to see, obviously, Gareth Evans leave, but the manner of which as well. In a situation where fans aren't allowed back inside stadiums yet, we never really got to give him that farewell that he truly deserved.
No, and... you know, a part of me hopes that one day he will come back to Fratton Park, whether that be as a coach or, you know, for another team or playing for Bradford or if he plays for a team after that. And the fans can applaud him and give him that send-off that he truly deserves. You know, loyalty in football is a rare thing these days. So for Gazza Evans to be here for 5 seasons... obviously wanted to play more and those opportunities won't come in. So I don't think anyone begrudges him the move. I think that's the difference between him and other players. I think if, you know, some other players that you could name have left and they've left in a tainted way and people think, oh, well, yeah, whatever. I think generally people are really saddened to see him go, like Christian Burgess. Because they are special players. They get the city.
Graham Wilkins on the email has pretty much confirmed what you're saying there, Jeff. He says, "Firstly, I'd like to wish Gareth Evans all the very best on his move away from Pompey. He's been an excellent signing for the Blues and a fan's favourite over the years. On to the Wigan game, we have to start taking our chances or it could be a long season, especially as this Wigan side is a totally different team that was in the Championship last year. Apart from the Pompey old boys, Naismith and Roberts." We've got a few more tweets coming in as well. One from Brendan Bone who says, "I remember watching Pompey back between 2011 and 2014 and seeing a bunch of players who couldn't care about the club. Then Gareth Evans came along with a few others and restored pride in the shirt. You'll be missed, Gareth, says Brendan Bone on Twitter. Forrest Watson says his favourite memory was the penalty at Notts County. It was a huge penalty. Also, remember him scoring a goal against Blackpool at home with his left foot, which was on the promotion run. Tom King was pleased to see Gareth Evans always give 100% regardless of the position he played. Andy Harris then backs that up, saying he played in many positions. Forrest Watson, referring back to what you were saying earlier, Matt, about how Gareth Evans scored the first league goal of the Paul Cook era. And then Matt Chaney goes on to say that his performance against Wigan on Cookie's return, he covered every inch of the pitch, gave 110% and never stopped all game. He was my man of the match that day by a country mile. Okay, moving on from Gareth Evans then, lads, because I think we will start crying in a minute. it's sad to see him go, and we do wish Gareth all the best. Like I say, he's moved to Bradford City on a two-year deal in League Two, hoping to get the Bantams back up into League One. On to an incoming now then, gents, and we'll start off with you, Matt. Defender Rasmus Nicolaisen has joined Pompey. He joined the club on Wednesday on a loan deal from Danish side Midtjylland. They have previously been the Danish champions, Danish Cup champions as well. Rasmus has pedigree and experience in Europa League as well. He's a player with that kind of experience, but with also potential coming into the side where Pompey have really required a left-footed centre-back, and he comes in given all of those options.
Yeah, no, I'm really impressed with what I've seen from Rasmus Nicolaisen. Only a brief amount, of course. Don't have the TV subscription package that you need to watch the Danish league, unfortunately. But, you know, 43 appearances for Midtjylland, who are one of the biggest clubs in Denmark, are one of the most successful. And a Danish youth international from under 16 to under 19. I think the biggest thing that he'll bring is probably a culture of success. And that's what I'm most excited for. Maybe he can raise the standards a little bit in the dressing room and on the training pitch and try and get this team used to that culture of success that he will no doubt have been a part of at Midtjylland, playing in the Europa League, winning the Danish League and Danish Cup during his time there. Everything physically as well seems really good. He seems quick for his size. He's about 6'3", 23 years old. I think his main strength is his ability to duel in the air, winning headers. He's a very physical and strong player. By the looks of what I watched of him this morning and watching old games, he times his tackles very well and his positioning seems good. The only thing is he could be a little bit better with his feet. And obviously when you have the left-footed centre-back on the left side, you're presumably bringing them in there to try and play the ball out from the back a little bit more. Yeah. So I'm not sure how that will turn out, but I think he does seem like he'll come in and take Raggett's place. Raggett's been much, much improved since he arrived at Portsmouth, but there are still question marks occasionally over his consistency. So I imagine that Rasmus Nicolaisen will come straight into the lineup.
Yeah, certainly a position which Pompey needed covered, Jeff. And you know, Matt mentions there Sean Raggett, who will come on to the discussion in the next part of the show when we start to delve deeper into tomorrow's game at home to Wigan. But it gives that kind of competition to Sean Raggett for that centre-back position. Now, we expect Jack Watmore to assert himself in that position, but we've got Rasmus Nicolaisen, who you imagine will compete with Sean Raggett for that position. If Rasmus does get the nod to start tomorrow and in future games, then you would hope that Sean Raggett is the kind of player who would take that on the chin and really, in training, put it in as much effort as he can to try and overtake him and show the manager that actually he may be the man to start starting games. So competition is healthy within the club, especially with this kind of signing.
Yeah, it is. And we saw it last season with Agut, where, yes, he was just getting over that broken ankle injury from the season before, and it took him a long time to get going. But when the challenge was laid down to him, when he had that sniff of getting into the first team, he did up his game. And yes, people were unsure at the start. You know, and he'd done that Cruyff turn, and all of a sudden people were behind him. You know, how fickle Pompey fans are. But, yeah, you know, Rasmus coming in is going to push him tomorrow. I don't think Rasmus will start. I think he will start with Raggett and Watmore. But it's. I'm trying not to get carried away with this signing. You know, we've seen it plenty of times over the last two or three seasons that a player has got a good footballing CV, has been with some really good teams, and yet they go out at Fratton Park, and for whatever reason, it just doesn't happen for them.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll be looking at Rasmus and Sean Raggett in the next part of the show. We'll be further previewing the game at home to Wigan Athletic tomorrow afternoon. 3 p.m. kickoff, of course, at Fratton Park, match day 3 of League One. We are just coming up to 20-7 now here on Express FM, which means it's time to move on and head to our second and final break in the show. You have just 20 minutes to get in contact with myself, Matt and Jeff if you'd like your thoughts to be read out on air. To do so, you'll either have to text the word Express, followed by your name and message to 81400, email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @ExpressFM, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. Be sure to include a score prediction within your messages too. Don't go anywhere now, because the three of us will be right back to look forward to the Blues' next outing. We'll be previewing that League One fixture between Pompey and Wigan right after the break here on the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to part three of this evening's Friday Football Hour in partnership with Stagecoach across the South, who are on hand to get you safely from A to B and back following the latest government COVID guidelines. For more information, head over to stagecoach.co.uk. It's time now to move on with the discussion and look ahead to Pompey's next match. Struggling Wigan Athletic, who are going through quite the rough patch off the pitch, make the long trip down to Fratton Park for this weekend's League One fixture. Manager Kenny Jackett has been speaking to Ollie Marsh from the Pompey media team, who began by asking the gaffer for his thoughts on the departure of Rico Hackett-Fairchild, who joined Bromley on a loan deal earlier this week.
He hasn't played any football for quite a while because of a succession of injuries. He's been unlucky with that. And obviously then lockdown hasn't helped him either. So we do feel for him to really get into his rhythm, to be ready. Is you know, it's a good move for him to go and play some football and then, you know, be on a recall situation for us as and when, you know, we need him, and when, you know, we feel he's ready to go into our first team as well. It's going to be pretty difficult now without the, let's say, the real reserves team set up. It's going to be very, very difficult, I think. And keeping players fit and match fit and being able to, you know, utilise your squad positively, and for Rico anyway, you know, it's a good run of games coming up, hopefully, for him now, if the National League does get going.
And Rasmus Nicolaisen, who signs from FC Midtjylland, how happy are you to bring him to the club?
Yeah, he's a player that we've looked at for a little while, and he's, you know, been set up at an excellent club and hasn't quite been able to get in. So we do feel, in terms of our market, this is where it is. We've been looking for a, you know, another left footer in that area that can give us a balance. And anyway, it'll be really interesting now to see how he adapts to English football. We think he's ready. We do think he's got the attributes to do very well at Portsmouth, and brings balance to our squad, which is, you know, a big thing. In any recruitment, whenever you're bringing players in, it's really important that they are either better or they do give you, you know, a compliment to what you got, and he certainly does that.
Is it a testament to your scouting network that you're able to pick up a player from a sort of different level?
Yeah, we've obviously worked hard in the last year or two in the foreign market, and we do feel now we've built up enough contacts, profile, knowledge of it, without feeling like we're just taking the chance totally on the players, which is a big thing. There is a a little period where it takes you a while to adapt sometimes when you're going from one country to another, and in particular one type of football to another. That's where the overlap is. But we do feel that Rasmus has the attributes to be able to do well in English football. He has a hunger to come over here and prove himself, which is, you know, a big thing in terms of talking to him and bringing him here to make sure that we can support him to do his best.
Looking ahead to Saturday, how much are you looking forward to the test against Wigan?
Yeah, some frustrating draws so far, particularly second period. We did build up a good head of steam last week, and we want to try to start where we finished if we can, and finish off some of those chances. That will be important for us, and you know, coming back onto you know, home soil after two draws in the league, we want to do everything we possibly can to get our first win of the season and in the league. Our season off and running.
Yeah, obviously Wigan, they've been through a troubling time, but they've got a big squad and some talented players. What are you expecting from them?
Yeah, as you say, if you're looking at their starting 11, they've got a good starting 11, and you know, we've watched both of their games so far, and you know, there is a lot of talent there. There's a lot of experience there. There's a lot of experience both in the Championship and League One. So, you know, we certainly know we're going to have to be right at our best. And as I said, you know, we did feel we had a good second half last week, not the best first half at Rochdale, and we want to do everything we can this week to see if we can start where we finished last Saturday.
Yeah, it's two games with two clean sheets, but also two games with no goals. Do you feel like the pressure's building at all to hit the back of the net and make the pressure count?
Of course, and you always want to be scoring goals. And while we've looked, you know, pretty settled, and we have some options in terms of defensively, obviously two draws isn't what we want either. We want to be winning games, so we want to convert those draws into wins and doing everything we can to try to get our season off and running if we can.
The pre-match feelings of Kenny Jackett there at a very windy training ground earlier this week. Okay, don't forget, we'd love to hear your thoughts ahead of that game as well as your score predictions too. All the usual ways to get involved. It's at ExpressFM on Twitter, Pompey at ExpressFM.com on the emails, Facebook.com/PompeyLive, or you can text in and start your messages with the word Express and send to 81400. And while you do that, we're going to hand over to Connor Mosley, who has a closer look at this week's opposition.
It's almost time once again to welcome league football back to the turf of Fratton Park, and it really is make or break for Pompey in match day 3 of the new season. After successive 0-0 draws to open the campaign, the Blues would be desperate for a victory when they welcome Wigan Athletic to the South Coast.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Latics find themselves back in the third tier after a cruel relegation from the Championship earlier this summer. A 12-point deduction was imposed on the club, who ended the season initially in 13th position for entering administration. The last time these two sides met was on Easter Monday in April 2018, when Kenny Jackett's men came away with a 2-1 win in front of the Sky cameras.
Manager.
Former Republic of Ireland midfielder John Sheridan was appointed as the new Latics boss by administrators earlier this month. Sheridan has made Wigan Athletic his 9th club since turning to management in 2006, having taken control of two caretaker roles at Oldham Athletic prior to his managerial debut, which was also at Oldham. Since then, the 55-year-old has managed teams such as Plymouth Argyle, Newport County and Carlisle United in the EFL, more recently, however, taking up the role at League of Ireland outfit Waterford, whom he only represented for 2 months. His only managerial achievements to date came during his time at Chesterfield, where he won the League Two title in the season 2010-2011 and the Football League trophy the following season.
One to watch.
Keep an eye on former Blues winger Viv Solomon Otterbaugh this weekend. You know what they say about former Pompey players coming back to haunt the team. The 24-year-old transferred to Wigan as a free agent from Bulgarian First League outfit CSKA Sofia. Solomon Otterbaugh, who plays on the left wing, made 7 appearances whilst on loan at Pompey towards the back end of the 2018-19 campaign, infamously having a strike against Peterborough United ruled out due to being offside, a mistake which would come back to bite Pompey in the backside just moments later when the Posh took the lead. The Nigerian will be wearing the number 17 shirt for the Latics.
Top scorer.
John Sheridan's side have netted twice so far in the league this season, with both goals coming in a 3-2 defeat at home to Gillingham. On the score sheet that day was 32-year-old forward Joe Garner and former Pompey player Cal Naismith, who helped the Blues to the 2017 League 2 title. Garner also scored twice in a 3-2 loss away to Fleetwood in the first round of the Carabao Cup earlier this month, as well as once against the Liverpool under-21s on Tuesday night, a game which saw the Latics win by 6-1. Naismith was also on the score sheet in that midweek EFL Trophy victory.
Current form.
Wigan have failed to pick up any league points since their relegation from the second tier. The Latics fell to a 2-0 opening day defeat away to Ipswich before losing 3-2 at home to the Jewels a week later. They do, however, come into this fixture having thumped the academy of the reigning English champions on Tuesday night in the EFL Trophy. Will it be third time lucky for the Blues this weekend, or will troubled Wigan Athletic frustrate Pompey yet again? Catch all of the unmissable action tomorrow afternoon from 2.
Connor Mosley there with a lowdown on the Latics ahead of this weekend's game. Match day number 3 in League 1 for both Pompey and Wigan. The Blues have failed to score in each of their opening two league fixtures this season, though have managed to record 2 clean sheets and therefore avoiding defeat so far. On the other side, we have Wigan, who have lost both of their games so far, but have scored twice, setting up what could be an interesting game tomorrow afternoon. And despite Wigan's off-field problems, which are likely to hinder their chances of promotion this season, Matt, it's set to be another stern test for Pompey.
Wigan are quite the sort of disaster on the pitch as they are off it like Bolton were last year. You can't really compare the two situations. Kind of got a very strong academy. So rather than playing 16-year-olds, they'll be rolling out players from their under-23s. Their academy is actually Group 2 academy, so plays with some Premier League academies there. And they've produced some really solid players. Also keep a bunch of players from their championship year. Cal Naismith is the only player that will likely play from tomorrow that started that last game in the championship against Fulham. But they have other experience in there. Lee Evans is a Wales international that played for Wolves in the championship. And Viv Solomon-Ottebor, as Connor mentioned, has started really brightly for them. He's kind of their one flair player, their attacking intent. As for the academy, they've produced a couple of good players. Mary and Perry are two 21-year-old midfielders that have started for them this season. Both are a little lightweight, so I think Portsmouth will look to take advantage of that. But they're both solid on the ball and technically quite gifted. And then Tom Pearce is a young fullback they've got in from Leeds, and he's a really strong player as well. He certainly hasn't struggled adapting to playing first-team football after being somewhat of a reserve with Leeds. So although they don't have the history going against them, they haven't beaten Portsmouth since 2009, there certainly isn't comparable to the situation Bolton are in. They're still a solid team, and I expect them to stay up in League One at the very least.
Yeah. A lot has changed for both clubs since the last meeting back around Easter time 2018. Back then, Pompey were just finding their footing in League One, having just been promoted the season before, whereas Wigan were on course to steam to the League One title and earn a return to the second tier under Paul Cook. The Blues won that game despite being tipped to lose. However, this time around, Jeff, it seems to be the other way around. As Matt mentioned, Wigan not expected to be relegated this season, not quite as turbulent as Bolton from last campaign, but they are going through their own tough times and they aren't really expected to compete near the top, whereas Pompey are, and their record at home should give that bit of an advantage.
Yeah, you know, you alluded to the stat at the top of the show about defences. I do think Portsmouth's defence is going to be crucial in this. If you look at the stats of Wigan's last three league games, they're not too dissimilar to Portsmouth's. You look at their last game against Gillingham. Yeah, they lost 3-2. They had 8 shots, but only 2 on target, but they converted those 2 chances. And that's the difference between their forward line and our forward line, is that when they do get those shots on target, they are actually troubling the opposition team. So our defence tomorrow is going to be crucial in keep trying to keep another clean sheet or limiting those dangerous attacks from Wigan. And then we just hope that, you know, our forward 3-4 are going to click tomorrow and our luck will be on our side. You know, and I'm sure if Marcus gets one, he'll get two. I really do. He's a confidence player and he seems to score for fun at Doncaster. And people talk about, well, you know, the amount of chances he misses and that. But he's still getting those chances. And if we can get someone like Jacobs behind there playing those through balls to him, like he did have at Doncaster, I really do think he'll click and he'll start to put those away. You know, he scored a cracking goal against Stevenage in the Cup, you know, just inside the box. And you know he's capable of doing that. So hopefully it will click tomorrow, but you just never know with this team, do you?
No. We mentioned earlier in the show, Matt, about the battle between Sean Raggett and Nicolaisen at the back. And you mentioned how you would like to see Nicolaisen come straight into the team. Do you still hold to that belief that you want to see him thrown straight into the deep end? Or do you kind of see that maybe it might take a few matches to dislodge Sean Raggett from that position?
You know what? I think Jeff's managed to convince me here because he did the adjustment period and the fact that Raggett, you know, despite my occasional concern, has played pretty solidly over the first two league games. So, you know, I'm going to retract my statement a little bit and say that Sean Raggett. thank you there, Jeff, for making me look silly on the show. But it's all good. I think Raggett will get the start tomorrow, and it'd be interesting to see what the rest of the lineup. To be honest, that's where the real sort of interesting decisions are to be had. I mean, Bryn Morris, a player that hasn't really produced so far in the first two games, especially Rochdale last week. So will we see someone else get a game there? Maybe Ben Close, maybe Cannon dropping deeper and Jacobson playing the 10. That's kind of the real question for me coming up to this weekend.
Just before we do leave you in just a few moments' time, Pompey fans, of course, must remind you of the departure of Rico Hackett-Fairchild. He has rejoined Bromley back on a loan deal initially until January the 3rd. There is an option for Pompey to recall the player within the first 28 days. However, that does not free up a space within Pompey's 22-man squad. That squad, of course, players over the age of 21 due to a new salary cap. Kenny has kept Rico as one of his 22 despite going out on loan, so that could indicate what Kenny believes or what Kenny sees for his future. But Rico Hackett-Fairchild has joined Bromley on loan until January the 3rd. OK, let's get to some score predictions for tomorrow's game at home to Wigan Athletic. Loads coming in on Facebook. John Lush is going for a 2-1 Pompey win. Jack Chapman says 1-1, it has a draw written all over it. Toby Metherill says 0-0 like it always is. Jack Barney says 2-0. Harness and Curtis. Damien Dunn is predicting a 2-1 defeat. And Gary Larkham says, we can't score. 0-0 again. I hope I'm wrong. Whereas Ant Cripps says 3-1 Pompey win. OK, those are the score predictions of the fans back from home. But now it's the turn of my two guests. Starting off with you, please, Matt.
I think it's going to be 1-0. I think Portsmouth, despite how poor they've been in front of goal, were slightly unlucky in that Rochdale game. They peppered shots at the end of that game and just couldn't get one to fall over the line. Yeah. I agree with Jerry. Once John Marcus hits one, he'll hit a few. And I have Pompey winning this one 2-0. I think Marcus will get both.
So that's Matt's prediction. Jeff, what about yours quickly?
I'll go with my head rather than my heart. My head says 1-0. My heart says 2-0, but I'll go with 1-0.
Jeff, Matt, thank you very much. I'm going to go, for the record, a 0-0. OK, well, that's that then. Another episode of the Football Hour comes and goes just like that. As always, it's been an absolute pleasure to bring you up to date with the latest Pompey news and, of course, debate too. I'll be back with Henry Deacon and John Hooper on the next instalment of the show this coming Monday from 6 p.m. Coming up next this evening on Express FM, though, Mason Jordan takes control after the 7 o'clock headlines with 2 hours of the biggest floor filling. What a way to kickstart the weekend. And then at 9, it's the return of Hipshaker, 120 minutes of nothing but great soul, R&B and beat music through to 11, when we've got non-stop Express hits through till Saturday morning. Ian McGuinness is back bright and early from 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to wake up the city of Portsmouth. He'll have the TV and movies guide, track of the week, the best stories from the web, and of course great music too, as well as the latest on the roads and the up-to-date news and weather bulletins as well. Lily Park then takes over at 11 with more great music, the Tiny Quiz and some weekend bangers before handing over to myself, Liam and Ryan at 2 o'clock. And that's when Pompey Live returns. The Blues take on Wigan Athletic Fratton Park, with both teams going in search of their first league victories of the new season. Who will come out on top? Tune in tomorrow afternoon from 2 to find out. Once again, thanks to Matt and Jeff for joining me over the phone. Thanks to Stagecoach for supporting the show. But until next time, stay safe, play up Pompey, and we'll see you tomorrow. Good night.